Well, late last week, it was announced that Chicago Beyond, the venture philanthropy fund, has launched its second annual innovation challenge, giving not-for-profits with the best idea to help take on issues like youth safety or education, giving them up to $2 million in prizes. To raise awareness, Chicago Beyond connected with Chance the Rapper to help get the word out on the project. So I'm sure there's a lot of paperwork, and then there's meetings, and then there's more paperwork and meetings if you want to get involved. Oh, there's not. No. You can actually explain your idea in a 90-second video. It's part of how they're changing things over at Chicago Beyond. In studio, Liz Dozier, former principal for Fenger High, starred in the CNN show Chicagoland. She's the managing director at Chicago Beyond. Liz, great to see you.
Great to see you too. Thanks for having me.
No, thanks for being here. All right, so let's talk about this. First off, you did the innovation challenge last year.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn from it that got you to the point where you wanted to change the rules?
So we just wanted to be able to allow more nonprofits who perhaps don't have the fancy grant writers, right? They don't have the person who's sitting back and just like pumping out grants and writing fancy things. We want to allow them to have access to the same type of resources and supports. We wanted to make the process more equitable. So we're hoping that by having the first step be this video, it will open up.
You know, let's talk about that. I mean, what are you looking for in the video? I mean, when you kind of talk about outside the box and being creative with the approach, I mean, it's really about ideas that are really looking to tackle issues, two different issues, youth safety and education.
Yeah, we see those as two flip sides of the same coin, right? In some of our most marginalized communities here in the city, you cannot separate education and youth safety. You just can't. Like, literally, if children don't feel safe going to and from school or don't feel safe inside of the school, like, we can't expect them to learn. And so that's why those are our bucket areas at Chicago Beyond. We just firmly believe that that's what's going to help turn the tide.
You think
is investments
so?
In those areas. We do. We really do.
I mean, you saw it. I mean, it's a terrible story last weekend at the playground in Pill Hill that mm-hmm. There was a shooting there. And then there was some of the same kids were at that playground. We're at 31st Street Beach. So they were mm-hmm. affected by the shooting in both different places. When you think about the way violence and the way it's sort of taking over Chicago, you know, do you think that being able to tackle these issues are going to help at the core of that issue?
We do. Ultimately, like, people don't wake up and just want to shoot people, right? Like, there's a process and a reason why people become the way they do. Like, our communities aren't just the way they are just because people have nothing better to do, right? It's about historical stuff around trauma, education, disinvestment. I mean, there's all these like root issues that are starting to bubble up, and that's why we're seeing what we're seeing now in our communities. And so we believe that if we want to see a different society, ultimately, we have to make investments in these two key areas of youth safety.
Are there specific, I mean, I think about the not-for-profits who would be interested in this, and I think of, you know, the big dogs that you mentioned, the ones with grant writers and the ability to get the money. But, I mean, are there a lot of different organizations that are popping up to serve this issue, to take on the issue of education or safety?
Yes. I mean, if you look at who won last year, so look at the Dovetail Project or look at Story Catchers, I mean, these are smaller organizations serving a very niche population, but we believe that the work that they do will turn the tide. So if you look at Story Catchers that functions in the youth detention centers and Illinois prisons here for young people. Like, their whole thing is supporting people, like, literally at the crux of their vulnerability when they're in detained, and then supporting them afterward. The Dovetail Project deals with young fathers, like, who are not working and not in school, and really brings them into the fold, if you will, connects them to the Dovetail Project and provides them not only a pathway back to school or back to work, but, you know, gives them something to be attached to. And so those young men before, what were they doing? Nothing. But, you know, being a part of the Dovetail Project will shift that. And so we think there's a lot more programs out there like that. Absolutely.
What I like about what you guys are doing is it's not just sort of awarding a grant or giving prize money and saying, great, go get them. Okay, next. What's next? I mean, there is an attachment with Dovetail, or there's an attachment with Story Catchers where you guys work together to figure out how you're going to use the money, how it's going to develop, all the kind of things that you don't normally see with
totally.
DC.
You never see it. Well, yeah. What you typically see in the foundation space is like I, as the foundation, have this really great idea. You can have this money, but you're going to execute on it like this. At Chicago Beyond, we say absolutely not. We think that there's value in community voice. We think there's value in the knowledge that's there. And so we say, hey, we value you and what you have to bring to the table. Let us, if there's synergy between us and the organization, let's help support your idea. Let's build that up. And that's impact. That's true impact, you know?
So for you, I mean, getting involved in this and having this be your life's work, I mean, talk about the idea of trying to find organizations and fund organizations that are going to find new ways to tackle this issue.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a challenge, right? I mean, that's why we're, you know, here on talking about it and trying to get the word out to people, because oftentimes folks don't know about these opportunities. And so we want to make sure that the playing field is level. Oftentimes the big dogs, if you will, or the usual suspects know exactly how to, you know, access money and resources.
Does that surprise you? I mean, coming from outside of that world?
I was in that world. So I was on the other side of that world. So I know exactly
what
it is.
You're one of the big dogs,
not one of the big dogs. I was one of the community folks writing a proposal, you know, trying to figure out how to get money, and knowing that my vision was to do this, but instead of being able to do that, I had to shift something because if I wanted this money, here's how I had to execute,
yeah, right.
You know? So I know firsthand what that is, you know, knowing how to serve my kids, but not being able to do it. So when thinking about ultimately building Chicago Beyond, it's like, really, like acknowledging people have, like, people in the community aren't stupid. You know what I'm saying? Right. They're not. There's value there. And so we honor that at Chicago Beyond.
How do you do that? I mean, if they're going to bring the ideas and you're going to be creative in the way that you're going to overhaul the process in which people can submit by doing a 90-second video.
Yeah.
How do you get them to think that their idea is an idea that can be funded, as opposed to like your situation you were talking about, where you're like, I know what I want, but I also know what I can get. Does that make sense? Like, how do you get them to truly believe, to take the risk and say, this is my idea, this is what I want to do, without having that thought in their head where they're like,
totally.
No, Chicago Beyond's only going to give me money if I do this.
Let me tell you, that's like one of the biggest challenges we found with our partners, that they're so used to functioning with philanthropists in like this way of,
right,
you tell me what to do. And so it's a lot of like relationship building. It's a lot of sitting down together and hammering things out together. It's almost, not to sound trite, but it's like giving people permission to say, hey, we're not operating in typical ways. We really want to, you know, honor your voice, honor the knowledge that you bring to the table. These are the people that are at the ground doing the work every single day. Who knows better than them? So it's really important. And we think we have a lot to learn from them. Hence why we partner with the University of Chicago, right? There's a lot to be learned from the Dovetail Project, from Story Catchers. There just is.
Liz Dozier is the managing director at Chicago Beyond, and she's got the Innovation Challenge, her second annual Innovation Challenge, which is up for a couple more weeks, right? And you can go to the site
until July 7th
and upload your idea in a 90-second video of how you would use the money or be your idea to tackle issues of youth safety.
We just want to know. So we're looking for 501c3s, and people can go to chicagobeyond.org to get all the specifics. We're looking for nonprofits who have a program, they have an idea, something they're executing on, and we just want to like hear more about it. We just want to make it equitable. You know, we want it. Again, you'll need a fancy grant writer. All you need is a phone.
You know, we were talking a little bit beforehand, you know, because this is something almost like a pet project of mine on the show, to talk about how we see the future of funding social issues. And we've been having conversation with the Metropolitan Planning Council and others about, as we see more and more governmental agencies, whether it be local, state, we see in state, federal, that are debating whether or not to even fund things. At the federal government, they're having a debate to say zero things out, which is crazy to think about. But they're you sort of see a world in 10, 15, 20 years from now where there will be more pressure on not-for-profits, on the business communities and others to pick up the slack and be able to put, you know, ideas to work and fund different ideas that might be taking on social issues that the government has just abandoned. I mean, do you see it that way? Do you see a world in which, you know, you're taking on the issues of education or youth safety by yourself without the government, without other sort of money from taxpayers coming to help out?
Well, I mean, it's a little bit of a scary thought, right? Because, I mean, ultimately, nonprofits are funded by philanthropists, right? Or by some government agencies. And so, but a lot of it is philanthropy. And so it's scary to think of a world in which only like the nonprofits are doing that type of, mm-hmm. I mean, because ultimately, like, that means philanthropists are getting to set the agenda. So what if, you know, philanthropist A doesn't believe in education, or philanthropist B doesn't believe in, you know, the most marginalized right. kids right. and communities? Like, then what happens to those folks? Government, in my mind, should be the big equalizer, right? The nonpartisan, the kind of looking out for everyone and seeing it from this, you know, holistic perspective. So it's scary to think about a world in which, you know, philanthropists are picking up what is supposed to be, in my opinion, yeah, right. done by the government.
Well, then how do you do it? I mean, as more and more governments, you know, will prioritize and say the federal government says, well, we're just going to fund the military, or the state government says, well, we're going to do this, that, and the other. We have pension liabilities and mm-hmm, things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you see, as yourself, a thought leader in this town, how do you see the city, the state, and other governmental agencies being able to fund things that on the surface are helping things, but you know, the idea of, you know, youth safety leading to education to help stem the tide on violence is one of those things where it's tough for a government to say, yes, it's working.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, well, it's long term. I think right. that type of stuff is like, it's long term investment, right? It's not like you're not going to see the fruit of education in, you know, 6 months. You know, it's like a long term investment that you see the residuals of it, you know, over time, over years. And I think that's part of the problem that we face here, is that we want these, like, you know, two second solutions, these silver bullet solutions. And, you know, we expect to see the results. I don't think it's feasible.
Yeah, right.
In my opinion, it's not feasible. But I'm going to tell you what, I'll tell you this much. If we don't begin to take seriously what is happening in our city by making investments in education and in some of these marginalized communities, it will only continue to get worse. I've said this for years. The chickens have just come home to roost. You cannot continue to, you know, you just can't continue to have disinvestment in communities, lack of education, like, and just think like, oh, it'll just, you know, it'll just be those communities over there on the south and west sides. It won't. It will begin to affect all of us. And I've said it for years. That's exactly what's happening. You know, ultimately, we will rise and we will fall together as mm-hmm. one city. It's a beautiful thing about the whole thing. We rise and fall together.
Well, I mean, for you, I mean, we were able to see you and your struggles on CNN when you did the Chicagoland show a couple years back, and what you had to deal with at Fenger, not just with funding or trying to keep the lights on at the school, which yeah. was alarming, but also having to develop relationships with the kids. As you think about that time and you think now you've moved on to other parts of your life and you look back to that time, I mean, is it better? Is it the same? Is it worse? I mean, what emotion comes up with you from being in that situation and now looking at it from a different side?
Yeah. Well, I haven't really moved on, really. I mean, I don't think you have an experience like that leading in, you know, at Fenger or in a community and being so connected, and you just sort of like pack up one day and you're gone. You know, I'm still connected to the kids. I still was talking to one of my former students earlier today and just lost another student a couple months ago. One of my all-time favorite kids, Jason Barrett, was shot and killed a couple months ago. And so I don't leave it behind. I think that I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought on that.
No,
sorry,
no,
I just.
Man.
But it's hard, you know, because I don't feel like I've moved on. I think that the work that we're doing at Chicago Beyond is critical. But I think that we're one player at the table. There's a lot of other, you know, philanthropic and other organizations in the city that are looking to step up.
I mean, the second part of the question was just: do you see, you know, from a different, not moving on, but from a different job?
Yeah.
Do you see it getting better, getting worse? Do you have any sort of perspective that you could give us that the WGN radio listener doesn't have?
I mean, I see it as getting worse. I don't see it as getting any better in the very immediate. I think the numbers would tell you that in a lot of ways, in the aggregate. I mean, as long as we continue to have people being shot in the streets, or, you know, two little girls in the, you know, and a playground, you know, being shot in broad daylight. I mean, I don't think we can say it's getting any better. I don't.
Right. You know, as more and more conversation happens about funding mm-hmm. and about, you know, what you do, but also what the city does and schools and education, everything, it reminds me that there's a lot of work to be done. And do we have I don't want to say political capital. Do we have the community capital to get it done? Do you see more and more of Chicago just putting their hands up in the air going, there's no way to fix this. This happens, like you just kind of mentioned. This happens in certain neighborhoods. There's nothing we can do. you know, now the it's just a a number in the newspaper. Nobody seems to care. I mean, where are we at with the community?
Yeah,
capital?
I think as a whole, in some ways, we've become desensitized. I mean, I was so taken aback once I left the school and I began that my office is here downtown now, and was so just taken aback by these Monday morning conversations where people like almost like gather around the water cooler and talk about like, oh, can you believe so many people were shot and killed? And they would talk about the numbers or the different incidents that made the news. And it was almost as if people were discussing the Sunday night football game, you know? I mean, really, like it was just like this, it blew me away. But what I do believe, even despite that, is that there are good people and good programs in the city of Chicago who are fighting against this. And I don't believe that all hope is lost. I see it in Dovetail and Story Catchers and the other programs we've invested in, like One Goal. Like people are, you know, pounding that pavement every single day on behalf of kids. And that, I think that's inspirational and gives us all hope.
Well, that goes right into what we're talking about tonight, the second annual Innovation Challenge put on by Chicago Beyond. You can go to chicagobeyond.org and you can upload a 90-second video with your idea on how you would tackle issues pertaining to youth safety and to education. Liz Dozier is the managing director at Chicago Beyond. She's my guest tonight. Liz, great to see you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.